And God, fall afresh on us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We thank you for the creation of the church. We thank you that the Spirit comes for all, comes to bless, to enliven, to guide, to comfort, to nurture, and on and on and on. And so we thank you that we can invite you, Holy Spirit, to fall afresh on us as a gathered community of faith and as individuals who follow you. Amen. Youth, you are welcome to go with Daniel this morning for class. Thanks, Chris and Amanda, for leading us. Lately, I have seen for sale signs on the front lawns of homes that are new to me. So the traditional sign is there, the traditional for sale sign is there, but on top of that sign is another sign that says coming soon. And so my assumption is that the house is still being prepared to go onto the market, but the realtor is just giving the neighborhood and giving others this sense of this house is coming on the market. It is coming soon. Both before Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection, Jesus spoke often to his disciples about what or about who was coming soon. I want you to listen in to some of the descriptions about the coming soon. We read, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you." Another verse from the Amplified Version of coming soon. "I have told you these things while I am still with you," says Jesus. "But the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and to act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you." And just before the arrival of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, we read, "On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with his apostles, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Coming soon, this advocate, this helper, this comforter, this Spirit that will live on inside of you, inside of us in Jesus' absence, that will speak the words of God and of Jesus. This is what the disciples were waiting for. And though Jesus had been telling them about this, his disciples did not have a clear understanding of when or of what was coming. The advocate, this Holy Spirit, was yet unknown to them. And then, all of a sudden, the day was upon them. Ellen read this beautiful children's story this morning, and the illustrations in that book are just so full of vibrant colors, which I believe so beautifully represent Pentecost. And she read of the events of this monumental day, a strong and mighty wind, a fire that divided itself and then rested on those who were gathered. And that's what we added to this beautiful banner that the children made, this representation of the Holy Spirit coming and resting upon the individuals and then resting upon all of the activities going forward in the history and the life of the church. This is not the first time in the story of God when a divine, brilliant fire had shown up out of nowhere, but it didn't burn anything up. In the Old Testament, windstorms with fire and lightning are associated with two things: God's presence and the formation of a temple, the temple being a dwelling place for God. So fire represents the presence of God, and it represents the formation of the temple or a dwelling place for God. In Exodus 3, we read about Moses' first encounter with this Holy Spirit in the burning bush. Exodus 3 reads, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And so here in Exodus 3, God was present to Moses through the fire of a burning bush. God speaks to Moses in Moses' own language. Moses understands God's beckoning to him. And he tells him, God tells Moses that Moses is standing on holy ground. This holy ground, it implies that the ground is like a temple, that God was dwelling there. And then further in Exodus in chapter 19, an even bigger flame blazes on Mount Sinai. And scripture describes it this way. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The wind and the fire. Again, the fire symbolizes God's presence, marking the mountain as God's dwelling place, as a symbolic temple. And still later, the Israelites built the tabernacle. They built a dwelling place for God, which traveled with them. And Exodus 40 shows once again God's presence through fire. It reads, in all the travels of the Israelites, when the cloud lifted above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels. And so once again, the fire signals God's presence, and it marks this movable tabernacle as what God would call his dwelling place at that time. Throughout scripture, you can read many more times of fire and holy moments and holy dwelling places of God. Which leads us back to this wonderful celebration of the beginning of the church, which we read in Acts 2 through the story that Ellen read to us this morning. And here, God's presence was once again made known through divine fire. On this day in Acts, when the apostles of Jesus, both men and women, were gathered together, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came down to rest on each of them. Author Brian McLaren describes it this way. The one fire came down from heaven, and then it divides into little flames over each person. From the one fire, from the presence of God, come many flames. So in the flame, we see the presence of God. So where does this divine fire want to find rest? Where is it that God will form his dwelling place? I said to Terry this last night, this is such an exciting message to preach, but it's so hard to articulate. So Acts 2, this incredible verse, it just marks a brand new beginning. It reads, they saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So where does God make his new dwelling place? It is made on each of them. It is not a geographical space or a place or a constructed building. The temple is made of the people. God chooses his dwelling place to be within those who trust and who follow Jesus. And it gives me goosebumps to think that this is where God makes his new dwelling place in us, in his people. And it is on that day that the church is birthed. Pentecost marks a new beginning. The story tells us now that God now dwells within the community of Jesus' followers, that the temple is a living temple, which is made of people who operate or who choose to live out their days like Jesus. We, you and I, we are the dwelling places of God's Spirit. And as we gather as a community, we, the church, we become the dwelling place of God. And again, I find this just incredibly exciting and hope that you do too. After his resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days revealing himself to many, showing his resurrected body, and continuing to ensure them that something good was coming soon, that his words and his teachings would come to fruition. And now on Pentecost, Jesus made himself alive to his followers, to each of us through the Spirit. The Spirit empowers us and empowers Jesus to be continually present in the world and in us. In reading about the Holy Spirit this week, I encountered many beautiful words of description of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to read a few. This is who dwells within us as God's temple. Power, energy, dynamic, flowing, moving, peace, power, transforming. And again, I'm going to quote Brian McLaren, who enthusiastically writes, "The Holy Spirit is the breath and water of life, the wind in our sails, the presence of God in whom we live and move and have our being. The fire of purification and transformation, the guide, the comforter, the convictor of sins, the unifier, the inspirer, the teacher." And this dynamic being resides in us as we are God's dwelling place. What an amazing gift that we have been given. I love how one blogger wrote. She said, "The Holy Spirit is a power and energy that is much larger than me and is contained in me." This beautiful juxtaposition there. God chose the church, a gathered group of people who desire to follow and live out the ways of Jesus, to be his dwelling place. As the place from where he moves, where he transforms, where he gives new life, where he unifies, and where he is revealed in love. And I just absolutely love how the children of the gathering church, they noted all the different ways of what it means for us to be the dwelling place of God, and how then the Holy Spirit compels us to serve one another, to worship, to be present, to give so generously. Just so beautiful to me that our children are observing the work of the Holy Spirit through the church. And just as Jesus became flesh and lived among us, the Holy Spirit was sent to be in us, to be with us. And we are then invited to let the Spirit flow out of us, to flow from us. In Acts 2, thousands of people had been gathered for what is called the Festival of Pentecost, and it's also called the Feast of the Harvest. And in biblical times, this was a very joyous time of giving thanks and of presenting offerings of the new grain of the newest harvest to God. This festival required that all Jewish males were to appear before the Lord in Jerusalem. So this was a diverse group of people that have made a pilgrimage from their hometown to this festival of Pentecost. They spoke different languages. They didn't know one another. And here amongst this diverse group of thousands of people, the fire of the Holy Spirit descends. And if you think back to our Lenten series, we spent a lot of time journeying with Peter. So we journeyed through Peter's ups and downs. We journeyed with Peter when he was really, really courageous and also when he made missteps. And now we want to join our stories together. This 50 days later, it is now this very same Peter who is chosen to be the one who stands up in front of all the people gathered there, to stand up in front of the thousands who are gathered and to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And Peter tells the people that they will receive the Holy Spirit, that they will be given the gift of the Holy Spirit upon repenting and being baptized. And on that day, Scripture tells us that 3,000 people joined the church. 3,000 people who spoke different languages, who came from different places, and who represented many different life experiences. They joined together. And in this moment, the church was born. It moves from being a small sect, a small group of believers who followed this rabbi from Nazareth who died and who rose again. And suddenly, the church breaks forth. It grows with unstoppable force. And the Pentecost is a living reality that the Spirit of God came and made his dwelling place with and within his people. Some of us might remember the account in the scripture of Jesus feeding the 5,000 people before sending them home to their villages. On Pentecost, the people did not leave. No, they actually stayed. And they formed a community that again we now call the church. A church community where, as Acts 2 tells us, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I look back at this mural and I think we could write our own story of we who come to form the gathering church, of we break bread together and we give clothing in the name of Jesus to the kids in the community and we invite people to come to the community suppers and we sing together and we share our gifts and our tithes with one another. This is the church that was formed on Pentecost. And so as we gather this morning, we gather as a dwelling place of God. God resides here. God has formed us intentionally. He has given the Holy Spirit to us as individuals and to us as a church. At Pentecost, the Spirit rushed, not on this or on that individual, but on the church that became the body of Christ. And it's the church that is birthed, not a group of solo Christians who happen to be near one another on Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit joined us because the Holy Spirit likes us to be together. Something important happens when we are together. Even this morning after the first two songs, Amanda whispered, "Listen to us sing together." We come together to worship. We join together under the banner of the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is present when we gather. When we gather in his name, when we do things that represent him to each other and to others. And God believed that by meeting and by living in community, that we could do the work of love, of spreading peace, of bringing about justice, and of growing his church. I want to close with this encouragement from Hebrews 10, an encouragement to us. This dwelling place of God. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for God who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Or as the Message version reads, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging and helping each other out. And not giving up on meeting together, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Let's pray together.